to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight, we're in the third and last of the devotions that we have been participating in as part of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. The theme for all 3 weeks has been persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. And I've asked this every week, so I won't do it this week, but what do we mean by persistence in prayer? We mean praying consistently, regularly, diligently. We could come up with 3, 4, 5 other words that mean kind of the same thing. He's not giving up. That's been mentioned every single week. We know that persistence in prayer is taught all through Scripture from the beginning when people began to walk with God. They began to seek God, and God made promises, if you seek me, you will be found by me. And then getting into the New Testament where Jesus talked about asking and seeking and knocking, that was an ongoing thing, and told a number of parables about how just keep persisting, keep knocking on those doors, keep bugging that judge, and that one parable we talked about. Not because God has to be bugged to get him to do anything, but because if you can convince somebody that doesn't want to do something to do something for you by bugging them, how much more will a loving Heavenly Father want to work on behalf of his children? Okay? And Paul talked about it too. And so the main theme for this series of 3 devotions has been that persistence in prayer is not about changing God's mind. It's about changing us. We don't keep praying and coming back to God over and over and over again, sometimes with the exact same things, because we're trying to bug him and change his mind. It's because God wants to use the process to change us, okay? Through persistent prayer, we grow in faith, submission, and in relationship with God himself. And those are the 3 topics. The first week, we talked about how, as we persist in prayer, we grow in faith, okay? That because we have faith, it motivates us and encourages us to keep coming back to God. But the more we keep coming back to God and we see what he does in response to that, it grows our faith. So it kind of feeds each other. And then last week we talked about persistence in prayer has to do with our submission to God. Okay? By persisting in prayer, we find that we begin to align our thoughts and our actions with God's will. And we looked at how Jesus is the greatest example of that, as he persisted in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed about the whole thing about, Lord, take this cup away, but if not your will. He did that 3 times. So tonight we're going to deal with the third one, persistence in prayer, and as it has to do with our relationship with God. Okay? The passage tonight is actually relatively short. I could just choose one verse, but we're going to do 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. I should have told you to turn there earlier. Forgot. But 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, this is going to sound familiar to probably just about all of you. Just 3 short statements with an explanation. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, sometimes we wrestle with God, what is your will for me? And in general, for all believers, the best place to find God's will is in his word, because whatever he tells us is his will for us. But there are certain things that he actually spells out and says, this is God's will. Avoiding, staying away from, not getting involved in sexual immorality is one of them that he makes very clear. But here's 3 of them. And actually all 3 of them can be related to prayer. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. 3 things that we're supposed to do all the time. We're going to be focusing on that middle one, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? What comes to your mind when you think of praying without ceasing? Carlton? Okay, an attitude that allows us to commune with God through the Holy Spirit, speaking to us and through us to God. Okay, good thought. Lisa? Persistence and consistency. All right? Yes? Okay. You're committed to prayer. It becomes a part of you. Okay? Any other thoughts about praying without ceasing? Yes, Sashana? Okay. Don't allow anything to unmotivate or demotivate you. I like both those words, whether they're real ones or not. But Unmotivated is for sure. In other words, there'll be forces that come against us. Well, I experienced that. I don't know if you do, to try to keep us from praying or pursuing that our relationship with God through prayer, but not allowing anything to keep us from that. Did you have your hand up, Norris? Okay. So you always have the opportunity to pray anytime, any place, any circumstances. That is, I think, half of it. The other half is that you actually do. Because you can, I'm not making fun of Norris. He great foundation there. Because we can know that we can pray anytime, any place, under any circumstances and choose not to. Okay, so praying without ceasing is realizing that. So you don't have to be at church to pray. You don't have to be in your closet to pray, great places to pray. You don't have to, be alone to pray. You don't have to, whatever, get your mind in. You can pray anytime, any place, under any circumstances, and that you actually do that. You're not constrained by other things. You don't have to be with a group to pray. That's right. Yeah. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, God's there in the midst. But God also promises that when we're just Him and us, He meets with us. It's just not in the midst because He's inside of us. So, I saw another hand over this way. Come on, Kingsley, you're holding us up.
I read recently in that you're
an attitude of the heart, not the posture. That's great. Okay, fervently devoted to seeking God and being intentional. And a couple other words I forgot, but that's okay. They're very, very good. All right, well, let's go on here, okay? Obviously, and I think we all realize this, it doesn't mean to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we should be on our knees with our eyes closed 24/7, mumbling, talking, whatever, to God. It's not physically possible, as several of you mentioned, okay? But it means that we have frequent, natural conversation with God throughout the day, as Nora said, and anytime, any place, under any circumstance. So, as we talk about praying without ceasing, persistent prayer, especially in relationship to our relationship with God, I'm going to ask two questions. You can answer either one because they're all intertwined. How does praying without ceasing foster a healthy relationship with God? In other words, how does the idea in carrying out praying without ceasing make our relationship with God better, healthier, and stronger? Second way to look at it is, what are the benefits of praying without ceasing as far as our relationship with God is concerned? What does it do for us in our relationship with God to pray without ceasing? Okay? And so there's lots of answers, so let's everybody give one so we can spread it around. Lynn, what were you going to say?
To maintain a constant relationship with God.
Okay, to maintain, and I'm going to add build, a constant relationship with God. So it's not like, okay, well, I touched base with God on Tuesday, I'll touch base with Him again tomorrow or the next day, but a constant, maintaining a constant relationship with God. Bert? Okay, so do you have another one? Or did you just want attention? Okay, what's another benefit, or how else does praying without ceasing strengthen or make our relationship with God healthier, whatever? Sharon? Okay, we learn to revere Him for who He is. All right, what else? Okay, it helps us to, you said avoid the fiery darts of the enemy. We can avoid some, others we don't. We have protection, right? We get strength, we get help with those fiery darts. Yeah, Norris?
You're always aware of the presence of God.
You're always aware of the presence of God. Yeah, I mean, if you have that attitude, as Carlton called it and somebody else mentioned, of just going through the day, God's always there. You're aware of that. Lisa? Okay. To summarize, whatever, it makes it easier to hear God's leading and to following it because you are communicating and you're not just praying to Him and speaking to Him, but you're hearing Him. So as you're walking with Him and you're praying without ceasing, there's that openness of communication that can lead us and guide us. All right? What else? It'll help us to avoid walking in the flesh, giving into the flesh, because we're walking in communion with God by the Holy Spirit. Then you had your hand up again. Gives us inner peace, comfort, and security in the midst of trials and challenges. That one in particular, you can compare this to just about any other relationship that you like the relationship. And you spend time with that person All those things are still applicable, but you know, you think about a child with their parent and they're going through a tough time and they've got a good relationship. When that child is with that parent, it gives them, should give them a certain sense of security and peace. Like, I'm not in this thing alone, you know? Okay. Anything else? Janet. I didn't see your hand, but I saw birds. That's why I said bird. Go ahead. All right, we become more like Jesus. We become more like God because you become like those you spend time with. All right? Did you have another one, Bert? That's right. Helps us to experience, that's the word I'm looking for, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And you said, in spite of the storms, it made me think of the story of the disciples and Jesus in the boat, and Jesus is asleep, the storm comes, and the disciple didn't realize that Jesus has just as much power to help them asleep as He does awake. So they shook up a little bit, and they woke Him up, and because Jesus was with them, the problem was taken care of. They ended up having peace in the storm. And that was a physical thing, but it's very much of a spiritual thing. You know, as we have a relationship with God and pray on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis, recognize His presence, then it helps us to face the storms. Alrighty, well, all these are great answers. I want to give you the ones that I wrote down just really quickly, and I think they're almost all covered by what you said. But I got a couple of verses to go with some of them. And there's a whole lot more than this, but there's a continual awareness of God's presence. A continual awareness of God's presence. As I said, just like if you spend a lot of time with somebody that you're in good relationship with, you're there together. And you may not even be talking constantly, but you know, you're in the same room. You have that knowledge that we're in this together. And the same thing is true with God. And we have His promise from the other side. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we can have constant ongoing fellowship with God and enjoy His presence. And the better our relationship with our Father, the better we communicate with Him. And the better and more often we communicate with Him, the better our relationship with our Father. It's just like a marriage, you know. Couples that don't communicate, they're going to have some major problems, you know. But if you do, you still may have some problems, but it's easier to work them out. And the more and better you communicate, the less problems you're going to have, the closer you're going to grow. A second one is this, a continual appreciation of God's goodness. The more we focus on our relationship with God and we spend time talking to Him, we can have more of an appreciation for His goodness. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Okay, so you got the same thing of without ceasing, all times, continually, that it's not just talking to God, and it's definitely not just asking Him for stuff, but it's also praising Him. The other two parts of the verse are, you know, thanksgiving and rejoicing. So praying without ceasing isn't just asking God for something. We've talked about this so many times. You know, what do we think about a relationship where the other person only talks to us when they want something from us? You know, it's not a very good relationship. So it's usership, yeah. We have this continual practice of talking to God about anything and everything. Again, it's not just asking for something, but anything and everything. It's just like if you spend time with a friend and you can talk about anything. Important things, but things are not important. Sometimes people get the idea that God doesn't want us to talk about things that might not seem important. If it's something important to you, something you care about, God is interested in it too, you know? I want to emphasize this. Prayer is talking with God, not just talking to God, all right? And God cares about whatever is of significance to you. I mean, it's not an easy habit to get into, but, you know, you can just be on your all by yourself, driving down the road or whatever, and say, you know what, I've been thinking about such and such and such and such, and Lord, what do you think about that? And just meditate, you know, I'm worried about this. I'm depressed about this. I'm happy or thankful for this, that kind of thing. The one that's obvious is the continual practice of bringing our needs to God. That's what we automatically seem to revert to about prayers. Like, well, we can come to God because we've got a problem. And thank God we can do that because God welcomes us to do that. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And Paul gives us the process that we should use in Philippians 4:6-7, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there you have the peace, too, that comes. A continual access to the source of all that we need. I mean, God has all that we truly need. Strength, help with problems, help with temptation, all that kind of stuff. And then a continual practice of bringing the needs of others to God. Okay? I think about many conversations I've had with my wife, and we do it all the time, every day. You know, talking in the right way about other people. I'm not talking about gossiping and tearing them down. But, you know, whether it's our family members, our daughters, our granddaughters, or people in the church, and it's like, oh, did you hear that so-and-so's got this thing? And we're talking about it because we care, we're concerned. And we do the same thing with God. It's like, God, I heard that so-and-so, you know, or my daughter, or my grandchild, or my mom, my dad. So we talk to him and bring the needs of other people to him. James 5:16 says, pray for one another. Okay? And it can be people you don't even know. You know, you read the news, you see the news, you listen to the news, you know, whatever, and you hear about a situation and you just start praying for them. You don't even know who they are. I mean, because they live on the other side of the country or on the side of their world, but obviously it's got to be very, very painful for them or whatever. Okay? And then the last one goes along actually with last week too, a continual practice of surrendering ourselves and our circumstances to God. Okay? We come to him and we are in relationship. We do that regularly, ongoing, persistently. It really helps us with our desire to say, God, I want what you want, not just what I want. Okay? And I surrender this situation to you and to ask him, Lord, what is your will? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? You know, like Lisa was testifying, when do I need to not say something? You know, that's just as important as knowing what to say as what not to say. I pray that for people all the time when they're dealing with, especially with a relationship situation. Lord, show them what they can and should do and can and should say, but also show them what they can and shouldn't do or shouldn't say, okay? Because we can make things even worse. So as we're talking about this persistence in prayer tonight in relationship to relationship, continuous prayer fosters an ongoing, growing relationship with God. And I would submit that the more comfortable we are with talking with God throughout the day, the closer we'll feel to him, and the more we'll find strength to grow in our relationship with him, and the more we'll find the strength just to live life the way he wants us to and to live it in victory. Okay. Any final thoughts or comments before we wrap this up and go to the next section? Linda. Especially for you, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're here, siren. Yeah. Great habit to be in. Yeah. There's lots of different ways to apply it and for it to be very, very meaningful. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Amen. As long as you can do it without getting too frustrated. Well, I'm not making fun of you. I'm being serious, you know. Yeah. You know, I'm not really big into social media, but I do glance at Facebook from time to time to see what friends are doing. I'm part of some groups they have to do with pastors and stuff. But I use it as a time to pray as I'm going through and seeing there's rejoicing with people. They got good things going on, or I see somebody's name and I know what they're going through, or they share what they're going through and to pray for them. Yeah. All right. Yes, go ahead. Good deal. All right, we're going to take the next couple of minutes, and I'm going to talk to you for just a minute about what our prayer focus is for today. That's what we've been doing each Wednesday night. I hope you have found the prayer focuses to be helpful. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, just because the 21 days are over doesn't mean you can't keep using them. If you found them very helpful, you may want to work those into your daily prayer. Just keep doing those over and over and over again, a different focus for each day. But today, since we're wrapping up the 21 days, the prayer focus is thanksgiving for God's goodness and development of a thankful attitude. Okay? There's a lot more scriptures for today than there are for the other days, and I'm not going to read all of them. Okay? But let me just read a couple of them. The very first one, Psalm 9:1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. Go ahead and read verse 2 too. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I've talked about this before. That second part of verse 1, I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. That's a great habit to get into. Have a time of prayer where you decide, I'm not even going to ask God for anything. I'm just going to think of all the things I can thank God for. Okay? All right. Let me read a couple more here. Psalm 95, 1 to 3. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. All right. Let me look at Ephesians 5, 18 to 19. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay. Then I have down Philippians 4, 6, and 7, but I quoted that a little while ago. It says, in all things, come to God with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Go to Colossians 2. Verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I like that, abounding in thanksgiving. And then one more passage, Colossians 3, 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So full of thanksgiving. Then the last passage, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, is the one we just studied a few minutes ago. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take about 10 minutes or so. And just encourage you to just seek God on your own. And if you're going to go with the theme, just spend the whole time thanking Jesus. Now, if you need to pray through something, you got to just bombard heaven about something else, feel free to do that. But I'd encourage you to still include thanksgiving. But then after about 10 minutes or so, I'll come back up and let you know. And if you are able to do so then, I'm going to encourage you to do what we've been doing each week also, to get into a smaller group, 2, 3, maybe 4 people. And pray with and for each other. So let's take about 10 minutes just to seek God on our own, and then we'll do the other.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.